on research farms for many of the larger companies that produce seed at commercial levels for New Zealand and other countries of the world. The technology that goes into that is quite outstanding, breathtaking, and it's a lifetime of study. The point I wanted to get to was this. I was in a field the other day at Hedgehope, and there was a harvester there harvesting a crop of maize. Now, many of you may have seen maize before in your history. It's not overly common in Southland. This was a new variety of seed that had only been in the country for 3 years. This was the first time I'd had anything to do with it. It was about 9 foot high, and the machine was enormous that was going along, full revs, chopping it all up and throwing it into a big container. It would then go into a big silage pit and be available for animals to eat. And so being sort of the systems analysis kind of person I am, I wanted to see where that integrated into the farm business, how profitable it was, what was the upside, downside risks and all the rest of it, what was the end result to the animal, the whole nine yards. So it's a fascinating sort of space, and it keeps me largely out of trouble most of the time as I spend time thinking about that. When David rang up yesterday and said, hey, look, we're all sick, we can't make it, I thought, what should we do? So the first thought that popped into my head was seeds. They're really small, they're really insignificant, but they do grow. That's the thing about seeds. And as I thought about that subject, this verse popped into my head. Comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it says this. Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he said this, I'm confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What does that all mean? God is in the business of doing something in our lives. And as you were rummaging around looking and thinking about seeds and looking at different verses, and many of the verses that you shared were absolutely brilliant and a message all in themselves, I thought about some folks that touched on the mustard seed one. And in Matthew 17 it says this, Jesus talking, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, that if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move to there, and it would move. Nothing is impossible for you. Faith has to start somewhere. It has to start. Faith is not transferred from one generation to the next generation. It has to be your own faith, but it has to start somewhere. It will start small, but it will grow. But it's really important that it starts. Jesus talked about that several times. He said it has to start. And he used the analogy or the picture of being born again. And you may have heard of that statement being in church circles or a Bible class or wherever you've heard it before. Except a person be born again, unless there's a start point of the spiritual life, they can't be in God's family. My own kids will have heard this, and anybody that's had the privilege or the had to endure me at Bible class will have heard this many, many times, that God has children but not grandchildren. God has a direct relationship with people that are in his family, but because mum or dad or grandparents or whoever has a relationship with God doesn't mean anything in terms of their relationship with God. It has to be something that they start themselves. That's really, really important. Some of you touched on with your verses and even did the same right back in Genesis. Why do we need to make a start? Because every single human being has the same problem. As a church, we've been reading 1 Timothy, and we've been spending some time looking at in depth at some of the verses and some of the words that Paul brings there. And one of the things that he talks about is the gospel. It is absolutely imperative, important, and the most central thing to what we are as a church. And here's part of the gospel. Every single human being has a problem. Regardless of the backstory, regardless of where we started from, what nationality or what gender or whatever the backstory, every single person has this problem of sin. And it started with Adam and Eve. And we've talked about it with some of the verses that you've shared. the problem is there because it's a part of everybody's life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The book of Romans tells us all about that. It spends chapters dealing with how big the problem is. So unless we realise we've got a problem, we're never going to do anything about it. It has bigger implications. It has bigger outcomes. Just as a seed grows and develops, so sin can grow and develop in a person's life. And the outworking of that for people is this, that sin brings death. Death is not just dying, it's separation from God. As I thought about that a little bit, this was the verse that resonated with me. Because it's a universal principle. It doesn't matter what country of the world you go into, it doesn't matter what generation of people you're talking to, it doesn't matter what the backstory is with them. Don't be deceived, God's not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So the principle of sowing and reaping started in Genesis, that some of you read some of those verses, but it impacts in our lives at every level, in a spiritual level, in a physical level, in a financial level, in a relational level. In so many levels there is reaping and sowing going on. The one who sows to please the sinful nature will from that nature reap destruction. And you're reading about that in the newspaper and on the internet and on the news. You're seeing that played out there. The one who sows to please the Spirit, in other words, the Spirit of God resident in our hearts and lives when a person becomes a Christian, will from that reap eternal life. Outcomes are totally different. Everybody's sowing, what are you sowing to? So going back to our verse, being confident of this, when God began a good work in your life, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As I thought about that, I remember a couple of weeks ago going up to Bible class. And the folks up there at Fuel were talking about Joseph. And Joseph had an amazing coat, and his dad was really proud of him, and his brothers ganged up on him and sold him into slavery, and it was there that he had the opportunity to become a slave or a servant in the household of a very wealthy man called Potiphar. Potiphar's wife thought he looked pretty good, and she wanted to get with him. And what did Joseph decide to do? Run. Good advice. Good advice. He ran. What was the outcome of doing the right thing? He got thrown in jail for 2 years. And I'm sure it wasn't the Milton Hilton. It was a tough environment. He did the right thing, and God was honoring him even in a difficult circumstance. God is doing a work in your life, if you are listening to the Spirit of God, if you are seeking God, if you're wanting to honor him, God is doing a work in your life, and that may include difficulty. The God who began a good work in your life is carrying it on to completion, and the verse goes on to talk about until the day of Christ Jesus. Now that's a whole subject in and of itself. What is that? What does that mean? Primarily for us as Christians, it's either heaven or it's the rapture. So some people that we know, that we love in our church fellowship, have died and gone to be with the Lord. And this verse is applicable to them, but it's also applicable to us. John 14, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for someone else." No. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, the prepared place. If I go, I will prepare a place for you. If I come back, I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. God has a prepared place for those who put their trust and faith in him. And the cloud of witnesses that the book of Hebrews talks about is full of loved ones that we have loved, we have known, have been part of our church fellowship who are in heaven. However, there will be a generation of people that will not see death, they will go in what the Bible describes as the harpazo, which is the Greek word meaning rapture or being caught away. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 deals with that. It talks about it's not the only part of the Bible, but it does. And it's there for our instruction. It's there for our encouragement. It's there for our basing our hope on. As I thought about that, this day of the Lord, of course the book of Revelation came into my mind. And as a church family, we're going to spend a little bit of time in that later on in the year. Short story, the first three chapters, Jesus is walking amongst his churches. And I absolutely believe that he is here today. He sees the intent. He sees the reason behind the action. He is observant of what is going on. Last week, if you were here, I shared a verse from Isaiah. What was the verse? Some people come to worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So God sees our worship, the intent of our heart when we walk in the door. He's with the seniors group when they catch up and meet. He's with playgroup when they enjoy time together. He's definitely with boys' rally because that's why there's been hardly any people die for ages. He's with girls' rally when they catch up and do their thing together. I believe emphatically he's with the youth group when they catch up and do their thing. I absolutely know that he's at the elders' meeting because we cry out to him every time we meet. Because we absolutely know that we need him to be there. But when we catch up and meet together as a body, as a family, the Lord Jesus is right there. Because he says to every church that he writes a letter to in Revelation, I see and I hear. So that has an encouraging but sobering effect on us, I believe. So the verse, talking about the seed, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I want to encourage everybody that the stories that we're hearing from people, Cheyenne shared some stories about what's been happening in her life a little while ago. Anne and Gerald shared some stories last week in terms of what God has been doing in their lives and in their circumstances. And that was brilliant and powerful to hear. We're going to share more stories as the time goes by as a church family because God is doing stuff in people's lives. God has begun something in people's lives. He is in the business of carrying it on. And the end result is that he will one day bring us into his presence, either with the rapture or with death. But God has a big picture for all of us. And I want to encourage everybody with that. So that was my thoughts as I reflected upon seeds. You've shared some verses and some thoughts around researching that just for a few minutes. It's a big subject, and God has so much to say in the Word in terms of those thoughts. But seeds need to start somewhere, and so does our faith journey with God needs to start somewhere. If you've started, it needs to grow. And that growth will just be evident. It will just show. And one day there will be an end story when God says, this is it. And here's the big picture that I've talked about for such a long time. And we will be part of that, part of God's forever family. And the Bible has an enormous amount to say about that. It is breathtaking. So be encouraged. Let's seek the Lord together. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, today we reflect as we worship you, as we meet together in your name, as we've heard about the ministry and the opportunity of sharing your word in schools, as we've reflected on seeds, thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Help us to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. if there has been a start point, if there is growth occurring, if the hope of what you are planning and doing is as for real. Thank you for all that you are doing in our midst. We worship you this day for who you are and what you are doing. Thank you so much for all the blessings that we have in Christ. Help us to share that story and that enjoyment with others as we have opportunity. We seek your face. Thank you for all your blessings in our life and in the life of our church family. And we bless you and praise you. And all the people of God said, fantastic.